Scott Miller and myself are standing just off of where the cars come out of the OSS. A number of cars are still in line. And Scott, we're seeing cars going through a first, second, third time. The delay we're seeing, are you seeing any type of trend with the cars that are failing?
Well, the first time through, there was a lot of failures at all of the stations. It was basically kind of split between chassis, weights and measures, and the body scan. Second time through, it seems like most of it has been centered around the actual body scan itself, which honestly is, you know, this is the most aerodynamic track that we've gone to, so, you know, kind of no surprise that they would be pushing the limits here more than some of the other places on that.
And this is a track, as we've gone through a number of races, coming back to an intermediate racetrack. You're saying possibly teams trying to push that envelope a little bit to see what they could try to get through with the OSS?
Well, it's just the faster the racetrack, the more important the aerodynamics are. So they're gonna, you know, it's natural that those limits, when it comes to aerodynamics, are going to be pushed here more than any place we've been so far.
EG3 show, the garage is open, man, oh man. Lucky I didn't record this podcast yesterday, because a lot of stuff happened overnight. What's up, y'all? Eddie Greer III for the EG3 show, the latest in the world of NASCAR Capable Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And today is the edition of preview number 3, the last preview of NASCAR Goes West. In my, oh my, how the tide has turned quickly in the less than 12 hours after 13 cars could not get through tech. And again, this goes back to last year under different inspection process with the with the templates and all that, and then with this new computer system, in a way that is the Hawkeye system is worked out. You know, we've seen a couple of the main teams, the 48 last week, the 78 the week before that, didn't go through tech, and now all this talking about tech, especially on social media, has ramped up with the multiple cars not getting through tech, especially out in a place like California. My, oh my, how things have changed. And usually I record a preview podcast on Fridays, and it's a good thing that I did not due to other obligations yesterday afternoon. But man, my, oh my, teams continue to try to push the limits. And even with this new inspection system with the computers change of colors, and I talked about a little bit about the process before the season started and how it works, and now it's computer operated, so you don't pass tech. And really, I'm gonna get into this here as we go along, but change has been on the fly last night, been trying to get caught back up with some of what's been going on out west. I'm gonna bring it to you folks here in this preview edition, Fontana style, on the EG3 show here this afternoon, prior to the Xfinity Series race that's going to be happening here very shortly. So I want to get you guys up to speed, getting myself up to speed, what went down March Madness yesterday. Also coming home and seeing our boys, K-State, getting it done, and now they're going to be in the wrath of Cinderella. If you haven't heard already by now, that you have not been paying attention, UMBC, Baltimore, Maryland, the college from Baltimore, Maryland, knocking off the number one seed, Virginia, last night, a 16, knocking out the one seed. Man, how things have just topsy-turned here in the last, over the last 12 hours or so with this news. But even before that, even more penalties were issued out in the Monster Energy Cup Series prior to this wackiness of all these teams not passing tech. We're going to name all of those teams here when the starting lineup commences on the show here before we head out for the Xfinity Series race. Chase Elliott, of course, had a great finish last week in part two of NASCAR Goes West at ISM Raceway, he and his team got hit with the penalty of an L1 issue due to the back rear end of the car, something to do with a trail brace, and his team were hit with 25 points and owner's points, and this was 5 more points to Harvick's penalty a week before in the West opener at Vegas, where, of course, we all know by now that the window brace failed on that car, which had a lot of speculation, even from some drivers like Chase Elliott and David Ragan. They got hit with the penalty, lost all those playoff points, and yet got majority of those playoff points back last week at IMS. Harvick, we all know that. He was ticked off, pissed off, and he let everybody know about it right off the gate last weekend. And Chase Elliott got hit this week. This is the second consecutive week that we have to hear penalties issued out, and second week in a row. And plus, this relates to an L1 issue. So not only that, teams continue to push the limits in that regards. Also, in the penalty this time, though, it's not 20 points. It's 25 points lost, both in the point system and in the owner's points. And the 9's car chief is suspended for 2 races. So, again, you know where my stance is on this by now. If you didn't listen last week, I talked about, you know, the crew chief is more responsibility than the car chief. I know the car chief has his hands on it, and maybe I'm starting to understand a little bit about NASCAR decision to suspend the car chief rather than the crew chief, because back in the even toward last year and beyond last year, the years after before this year, it's always the crew chief getting suspended. And I still stand by what I said last week. The crew chief, it's their responsibility to keep their eye tabs. They make the decisions. They make the adjustments calls throughout the race. And I think, to me, they should be the ones to take the hit and not the car chiefs. As much as the car chiefs make the cars a little bit or more in charge of what they put in the race cars, it's the crew chiefs that make those type of decisions. And even the crew chiefs will have their hands on those cars too. So, I mean, it has to start from the top and not the assistant coach. I made this reference last week on one of the episodes of the podcast that if you want to suspend somebody, suspend the top head, the snake head, top head of the snake, and not the middle. It doesn't really make any sense. It still doesn't, and it probably still won't. But hey, it's not NASCAR. They make the rules, and the ever-changing rules continue. And that includes the the new inspection process, which is not going so well, especially yesterday, what happened over there. So we'll get to that. Again, Chase Elliott gets knocked down in the points a little bit, and they'll have to move on without car chief this week and next week when the NASCAR schedule switches over from the NASCAR Goes West into the short track swing of things when we go to Martinsville next week. Big sponsorship news surrounding Jimmy Johnson. Of course, I believe it was not almost a full year. Lowe's and Jimmy Johnson signed an extension with Jimmy Johnson to probably last through the end of his career. Well, all of a sudden, let's just run away from the situation. Lowe's decided, well, it's time is up with Jimmy Johnson. Lowe's will not return to Jimmy Johnson next season. Of course, Jimmy Johnson is, his contract, I believe, is through 2020 or 2021, but I believe it's 2020. And Jimmy Johnson spoke to the media yesterday that he himself will still plan to be around racing for a while. So, in all the speculation, you know, Jimmy Johnson, as old as he is, in his 40s, and not doing so well. On the flip side of that, you have a guy that we have talked about, seems like all month long, Kevin Harvick, and the speed that they have in their team, in their race car right now, blazing speed at that, unloaded yesterday on top of the boards, but screwed up in qualifying and starting in the back end of the top 10. Again, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'll have the starting lineup for you for tomorrow's race at Auto Club in the second half of the episode. But Jimmy Johnson, where does this leave? And I read an article on ESPN this week about specifically about how this affects the sport. Well, it definitely hurts Jimmy Johnson because, you know, Jimmy Johnson, you know, I know Jimmy Johnson almost over the last year, excluding the three wins from a year ago, this has been a mighty struggle in going through a team change with all this youth movement going on, especially in Hendrick Motorsports. With Elliott's been there the longest, but you have William Byron, Alex Bowman getting their hands around the Hendrick stable there. And then Jimmy Johnson, the past, we've seen him win a bunch of races here and there. And with Lowe's and that success, that was, pretty surprising, probably one of the more surprising news of the week throughout the garage area. Lowe's, you know, backing out of theirs, apparently they're signing with Jimmy Johnson there for a long haul, so Lowe's decided to go another direction. I don't know what happened that made the decision. Jimmy Johnson has been a successful race car driver throughout this era, which seems, you know, he finds a way to win races and get himself into the playoffs. And then, of course, we all know what happened a couple years ago, tying Petty and Senior, Dale Earnhardt Senior, for those of you who haven't been listening for quite a while, that he wants that 8th championship so bad. But Jimmy Johnson said in his press release yesterday, press conference about that situation, and he said he himself will be sticking around, even though his main sponsor, Lowe's, who's been with him pretty much throughout his career since his rookie season, will not be a part of the 2019 season. Man, that's Sue Soccer. And now, well, on the plus side, for Rick Hendrick, is this opens up a couple of avenues where he wants to go. But Jimmy Johnson's performance beginning of the year, not very good. You know, you can beat around the bush and whatnot. You hear all these guys saying, these other media members saying, you know, it's a good day for Jimmy Johnson. You know, especially last week, you know, they are Gordon and DW saying that, oh, he's got a good race car underneath him. He has a chance to do something with it. But when he did something with it, he's finishing the top 15 with it. And it's still not there. And I believe he was one of those cars that did not get through tech again. 48, I believe. I came across the running order at the end of the K-State baseball game yesterday, and his time didn't show up. So Jimmy Johnson was one of those cars that did not pass the tech. So again, issues with the new inspection system. So they have problems more than the 78 is right now, having not get through pass tech. But interesting situation, because Lowe's has been a huge investor of this sport, and how successful they have been the victory lane multiple times with Jimmy Johnson. And now they're leaving Jimmy Johnson hung out to dry. I don't know. Maybe it's because Johnson isn't running as well. It could be multiple things. So I don't know why the split now. But maybe they have a good reason behind that. We don't know that for sure. But we do know that Jimmy Johnson will be looking for a sponsor now. This goes back to Target last year, the way Kyle Larson was running. Kyle Larson was up there challenging for wins and winning races a year ago, more so than Jimmy Johnson was a year ago. So Target left, and these are two big time store sponsors. When you're looking at Target and Lowe's, those are some big time sponsors to leave the sport. And the way that, especially really in Kyle Larson's case, you know, he's one of the up-and-comer still in the sport and continuing to challenge for wins. And he's, and the 42 has more opportunities to chance for wins, probably more so than Jimmy Johnson right now. But the sport right now is going to be hurting. Those two sponsors are going to be leaving, and I know it presents new opportunity for other sponsors to come in, but those are two biggies right there in Target. And now after the season's over on the Hendrick side, Lowe's will say, see you later, the Jimmy Johnson and Rick Hendrick. You're listening to the EG3 show, Fontana preview style, with yours truly, Eddie Greer III, this afternoon, breaking down the news and news stories up until race weekend. Of course, I'm recording this podcast episode before the Xfinity Series race, so you guys who are regular listeners will probably be hearing this either tonight or tomorrow morning prior to the Monster Energy Cup Series race. So, getting you guys caught up with that real quick. All right, other news, of course, the Busch Poll Award is back. Of course, Busch sponsored the poll back in the 90s and prior to that as well. Of course, Martin Truex Jr., MTJ, going two in a row, snagging the Busch poll. And what's kind of being overlooked here is MTJ gets the first Busch poll in Busch's return. So there's a little nugget there. But Busch will sponsor the poll award, and whoever scores the most polls at the end of the season will be awarded the Busch poll award winner for winning the most polls. And already Martin Truex has two of those, so that's good for the 7-8 boys right there. And of course, we can't talk about the most talked about driver in the last several weeks, Kevin Harvick, in his statement win last week at ISM. He wasn't a dominating car of that race. Kyle Busch was. But in the fourth quarter, when it mattered, Kevin Harvick stepped up, passed Chase Elliott, disposed Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch and their team screwed up, and it was a wrap for that. And Harvick is obviously leading the charge, but you gotta look at these other guys on Stewart Haas, these drivers, Bo Bowyer, and now one of them leaves me, but Bowyer, Almirola, and Kurt Busch. There we go. Kurt Busch, who also had unveiled his paint scheme for the Southern 500 already, so the first of those to come out already, and it's only March. So he did that, and obviously we're going to stay with Kurt Busch for a minute here. Kurt Busch unveiled his paint scheme dedicated to hit the unbelievable finish with Ricky Craven in the 90s with that down to the wire to wire finish in the final lap, beating Bengals. Craven won that. I can't remember off the top of my head what year it was. So many things going on from last night. But Craven won that, and they shared a little moment there this week, going back a little bit to that moment, which that was one of the greatest finishes, closest finish at that point in NASCAR history. So there's that. But Kurt Busch had a strong car in the long run yesterday and finished 10th with it. And I made a mistake, folks, last week. I thought Atlanta Stewart Haas Racing finished all cars in the top 10. That was not the case, so I apologize for that. Last week was officially the first time that Tony Stewart, Gene Haas, put four cars in the top 10. That includes the 10 of Almirola, who finished in the 7th spot. Bowyer finished in the top 5. And Bowyer and Almirola came out fast out for opening practice yesterday. They were 1-2-3 after the first practice and thought, hey, we might be seeing a Stewart Haas front row. That was not the case, because Bowyer, I believe, did not. I'm not sure did he pass inspection or not, but again, I'll get to all of that with the starting lap. But I know Almirola did not, because he made a comment that, oh, we get to start on fresh tires while everybody starts on new tires. That is not the case. I'll also explain that on the other side of the intermission. But again, these guys, Almirola off to a good start, and Eric Almirola's confidence has gone sky up. I mean, this guy, he's one of the more popularly mannered guys in the garage And he went through that horrible wreck last year in KC, which I was there for. That was a bad wreck. And yet, you know, comes out of that all confidence in the world. And then, with a new circumstance for Almirola, comes out of the gates with his new crew chief there, Johnny Klausmeier, and does an absolutely great. Those two are getting together pretty good. Boyer's just showing speed, and Boyer was very consistent last year on these type of tracks. Michigan, Fontana last year, Pocono, these type of tracks. 2 mile, 2.5 mile tracks that he was very fast on. And Kurt Busch is off to a good start as well with the change of the crew chiefs. Also with Billy Scott, who was with the 10 car last year with Daniel Patrick. So Darrell Waltrip agrees with me what I've been saying about the 10 car. That 10 car was not driving up to its potential. And this might be another shot thrown at Daniel Patrick, you know, trying to do her own thing and whatnot. But probably not following the rules. Got her kicked out of the team and got kicked out of the sport. And you saw where it ended up in the wall in a lot of those races. Eric Almirola has taken care of that car, and it's not qualifying the best, but it races pretty good, and it raced pretty good again last week. So Harvick leading the charge, and like I mentioned in the recap last week of ISM, Stuart Haas right now has got to be the top player when it comes to possibly contending for the championship. So, and Kevin Harvick also been a busy week for him again, competing in the K&N race yesterday and made a couple comments about which driver had the most potential. And speaking of Danica Patrick-esque, you're looking at Haley Deegan, one of the up-and-comers of the sport also. She was part of that NASCAR Next Crew recruiting class last year. That's the name I've been looking for. So that came up on the spot. That was good. NASCAR Next Crew. So she was right up there with Ty Majeski, Harrison Burton, and all those cats from the class of last year. So I don't know much about Deegan yet of what I've heard, but I've heard she's a good talent. And maybe, you know, maybe one of these times we could see her up here in a truck series, possibly, but that's high praise from a champion, given that what he sees talent on the racetrack. So a lot happening there. So we'll see what happens moving forward with some of those next generation kids like Deegan, Harrison Burton. We see in the trucks also Gillen as well, who's running that four car for Kyle Busch Motorsports in the truck side. All right, folks, time to take our intermission break here in the ET3 show. Talking NASCAR in. Towards the end of the podcast, I'm going to have a new segment and a little gridiron action called Around the Turns. A lot of stuff happening with free agency. I'll get to that on the back end of the show. And before that, though, we're going to talk about all these cars not pass attack and break down the starting lineup. Right after this timeout, ET3 show. Back after this.
Thank you.
G3 Show, rolling back on the track right here with yours truly. My name is Eddie Greer III for the EG3 Show, all about the world of NASCAR, Camping World, Xfinity, Monster Energy, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports, breaking down, previewing tomorrow's Cup race at Auto Club Speedway, capping off the NASCAR Goes Out West Tour, and recording this podcast a couple hours before the Xfinity Series race going out there this afternoon out west. So a lot happening, as I said, in sports. And also, I mentioned my new segment on the EG3 Show, add a little football to you guys liking. Also, called Around the Turns, and that will wrap up the podcast, the episode, preview episode here this afternoon. But going back onto the racetrack, and first, I want to touch base with the Xfinity Series here as they'll be racing this afternoon. Coverage starts at, I believe, 4 o'clock, I believe. Yes, 4 o'clock Central Time, 5 East Coast. You can do the math if you're going to the race later on at Auto Club. But yes, Xfinity Series race will take flight. And if you're going to be watching the race, FS1 will have coverage of it. MRN will have it if you're on the radio side. And Brad Keselowski joins Adam Alexander and Michael Waltrip with the call on that one. The Cup guys in this field later on this afternoon, it will be Joey Logano, John Hunter Nemechek, who scored a top 5 in Atlanta, returns in that 42 car. Austin Dillon repping the 3 for RCR, and I believe that's it for the Cup guys. So not much going on, so an opportunity here for one of these Xfinity Series regulars to get the job done. Daniel Hemric was fastest in final practice, while Christopher Bell opened up fastest on top of the board in the first practice. So these guys are going to have to do something with Joey Logano, who's been was second fastest in both the practice sessions there. So it's going to be Joey Logano. It looks like Joey Logano versus the Xfinity boys later on. And Austin Dillon does have a win in the Xfinity Series race coming a few years ago, so he has that in his back pocket also. But I believe Logano's going to be a more threat to the Xfinity Series regulars. And Daniel Hemric has been quick here this weekend. I put my money on Daniel Hemric here this weekend to score a win and to get himself locked in to the Xfinity Series playoffs. And then, Bell, he's definitely the favorite, but just looking at times and all that other stuff, Daniel Hemric looks pretty good here this weekend, and he has opportunity to win here later on this afternoon at Auto Club Speedway. Turning the page back to the Monster Energy Series. Yes, the biggest story of the weekend so far is these changes all of a sudden NASCAR is coming up with on the fly. catching up this morning on what happened at Auto Club yesterday with the issue, with all those issues. And this is not the first time, like Dale Jr. tweeted out yesterday, this is not the first time that all these cars did not pass tech. He went on to trying to summarize the tweet. This is not the first time, these cars passed tech. These are not the first time they're pushing these guy teams, pushing the boundaries of the other race cars. And it might not be the last time, but maybe beefing up the penalties could enforce that. And what the activity, what happened yesterday, basically NASCAR beefed up the penalties for the Xfinity Series guys. So prior to qualifying, NASCAR said, and this is from one of the sources that I got this from, that I read from, NASCAR made the decision that if the cars don't pass tech, they will not get on track for qualifying, which is the right thing to do. One, and then two, also, this caught my eye right here. If you don't pass, start in the back, not only do that, but at the start of the race, you got to do a pass-through penalty at the beginning of the race, and that probably basically puts you almost really a lap down, especially at a place like Fontana. And you, if this rule right here is implemented in the Cup Series, you know how many this will make the race a hell of a lot more interesting because of the fact that you have probably got good drivers, good teams, or good team, depending on the situation of that weekend. You have at least one or two cars or that don't get on the track. We saw what happened at Atlanta with Truex, and then a week after that, Jimmy Johnson not getting through taking out. All of a sudden, all these cars don't pass. My goodness, that hurts. That hurts. But there's been a lot of obviously opinions out there that I've read, and there are a lot of people that hate it because NASCAR not inconsistent with the penalties. And this is a very new system. This is a computerized system. This is not the templates. This is not the templates we're talking about. We're talking about a computer heated system that checks your car out before you go out on the racetrack. And if the computer says you don't pass, you don't pass. I mean, that's pretty straight up. I mean, this doesn't take 30 minutes like the old template did. Well, we saw issues with the old template system last year. They're all in several races that half the field didn't make qualifying attempt because it didn't match templates. So why does it even matter that what matters there matters here? This is a computerized system. No template is touching your car. The computer senses it. I mean, it's unreal. The thing is, everybody wanted the level playing field after last year. Everybody complained about the 78 and all that other stuff. You know, what's under 72? And not, it goes back to maybe Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson. Those guys, wow, they're so good. Jimmy Johnson, you know, winning all those races. And everybody complained. They wanted parity. I mean, right now, you know, Kevin Harvick is owning all the wins right now. So parity is out the book. It's out the book right now, in my book right now, until we see a little bit more different winners. Because last year at this time, we saw five different winners after Kyle Larson. So you talk about parity to me. Five different winners after last year. We only have two. After four races, Harvick has been the dominant kart machine. And obviously the upset win, Austin Dillon Daytona 500. So you talk to me about parity. I mean, last week we saw a Ford, Toyota, and a Chevy there racing for the lead. That was some exciting racing. That was probably the best racing in the Cup Series that we've seen all year, at least so far to this point. And it's early in the season, but that's the best racing we've seen to this point. But other than that, we're talking about everyone wants a level playing field. We all want to have a chance to battle leads. You know, you have these small budget teams out here, you know, busting their ass, trying to make it in the sport. Really, not making it in the sport, but trying to be more competitive, like the Matt Benedettos, the JTG Doherty Racings, and things like that. And you have all these cars, 13 of them, and some of them are big names. And I was right about Clint Boyer. He did not make a qualifying attempt. All these cars, these are big names we're talking about. And if this rule was impended to the Cup Series for tomorrow, you had all these guys going up making a pass-through penalty. Denny Hamlin, Boyer, Almirola. Almirola said, oh yeah, we got a chance to go up through the field. You know, we have fresh tires than them guys. That ain't the case. And while I'm on that, NASCAR also said that the 25 teams that made the qualifying attempt yesterday that participated in qualifying will have a chance to go to NASCAR for a fresh set of tires to start the race. Wow. That's even the playing field out there. If anyone's talking about, oh, we want a playing field, that's an example of even the playing field out. Give those qualifying teams, teams that made qualifying and pass inspection, a reward. There it is, right there. Give them a fresh set of tires and put everyone else in their own misery. Make them work for it, like a Hamlin, Almirola, Boyer, Byron, Bowman, Suarez, Chase Elliott. These are some high, big-name teams, right? Names right here. Allmendinger, Jimmy Johnson again with problems. their team having issues getting through tech. Casey Kane and Timmy Hill, the Ross Chastain, Cole Witt, other world there, rounding out the teams, the drivers that did not make a qualifying attempt. Most of those big name teams, and Jimmy Johnson on that list again. So that team having clear issues not getting through the new computerized system of inspection. So, I mean, you're talking about heightening the rules of the Xfinity. They shouldn't be getting penalized, in my opinion. It should be these guys right here. I mean, the Xfinity guys didn't make all that havoc yesterday. I know they focused on practice yesterday, but with all what we're seeing now it has an effect on the Xfinity guys now, because we see a team that has problems with tech, they're going to get a lap down. That's just plain simple. You have to start the race going slow, and then that's just going to be make the race a lot more interesting than it is, because everyone talks about the action, you know. Oh, yeah, you know, Harvick's dominating. It's boring. No, this feels different. It goes right here. Goes to these teams, these names that you just listed off. These are some big name teams we're talking about. Stuart Haas on here, JGR, Hendrick Motorsports, JD Doherty, Levine making this list, and the small teams also made this list for whatever reason. So it's a lot, and this is interesting because I think if NASCAR has the balls to go down there and have an effect on the Xfinity race with the way that inspection didn't play out for one third of this field for the Cup side, this rule should be implemented, and not just for this race for a mile. This should be implemented for the rest of the year. You want to make changes on the fly, you know, that's fine. That's fine with me. I don't care. But if you can't just make the rule for one weekend, you got to make it for the rest of the year. You just can't say, oh yeah, we're going to put this in because this many cars did not pass tech. No, you got to make this rule firm throughout the rest of the season. That's what I want to see. That's consistency right there. And if they take this rule out, that's inconsistency, right? That's NASCAR's fault right there. You know, everybody talking about right now, parity, level playing field. We want a chance to go up there in the top 10, work on our stuff, make our stuff better, faster, and all this other stuff. Well, it starts up at the top of the head of the snake, and that's NASCAR's decision. So, that was a lot off my chest right there. I feel a lot better. EG3 show. You're listening to Font Auto Club preview, looking ahead to tomorrow's Cup race, which is going to be an interesting one. Now, those teams made the qualifying effort, will get rewarded. So that to me is the right thing to do. And that what we saw with Truex, you know, going through the field in Atlanta. I mean, yeah, they had their issues with this process at that moment in time, but seeing him go through the field and he gobbled everybody up. Here in this case here, they're gonna have those cars gonna have a tougher time. They could be a tick faster. I mean, we're seeing a lot of these middle teams up here in the top 25 to start the race, but it's gonna be not as easy as they thought. Because now you're on equal playing field. That's an equal playing field that a lot of fans want to see. Starting lineup for tomorrow's race is starting from the back. Obviously, these drivers just named will have to go to work, put their work clothes on, and go to work to get up front. Cole Witt, Ross Chastain, 37, 36. Timmy Hill, start 35th. Kane, 34th. Jimmy Johnson, 33rd. Almendinger, 32nd. Elliott, 31st. Suarez, 30th. Byron, 29th. Bowman, 28th. And is that all the Hendrick cars that didn't pass? Yeah, it is. Bowman, Byron, Elliott, and Johnson. My goodness. So Hendrick had a terrible day yesterday. Didn't get through. Another cars didn't get through tech. My goodness. Then you have Almirola, 27th. Boyer, 26th. And Denny Hamlin starting in the 25th spot. At least JGR did have passed their cars. So that's half the battle right there. Mark Truex Jr. and Fernando Alonso, the neighbors, they passed through tech. That was good to see that. Reed Sorensen will start 24th. Jeffrey Earnhardt, 23rd. Michael McDowell, 22nd. David Reagan will start 21st. Greg Galding will start 20th. Darrell Wallace Jr. will start 19th. Matt Denno 18th. Ty Dillon 17th. Ricky Stenhouse will start 16th tomorrow. Jay Murray 15th. Paul Menard, Trevor Bayne, Chris Buescher, and terrific qualifying attempt yesterday, getting all the way to the final round of qualifying for that 37 Chevy for J.D. Doherty. He's going to be starting 12th. Brad Keselowski in will start 11th. Your top 10 starters for tomorrow. Kevin Harvick, can he go for four in a row and sweep the West Coast swing? Find out tomorrow. Harvick will have to do it from the 10th position. Ryan Newman starts 9th. Ryan Blaney 8th, Kurt Busch 7th, Joey Logano starts in the 6th spot. Good qualifying effort by the Daytona 500 winner, champ, Austin Dillon. He'll be rolling off in the 5th position. Erik Jones. Erik Jones has been overlooked here to start the season. He's been good here to start here. And I told you about Erik Jones. Nobody's really talked about much about him. And even himself, he admitted it. Nobody's out here talking about me. And he has a chance to do something with his Sirius XM Toyota for Joe Gibbs. He's going to be starting 4th. Kyle Larson, the defending winner last year, he will roll off 3rd in the front row. We've saw this multiple times a year ago. Kyle Busch, the bridesmaid run continues. He starts 2nd. And my dude, MTJ, Martin Truex Jr., for the 2nd week in a row, will lead this field to green tomorrow afternoon. Out West Hollywood. That is your starting lineup for tomorrow afternoon's race in California, folks. That was your starting lineup right there, folks. Right there. They're listening to the EG3 show. Eddie Gritter III with you this afternoon for the Auto Club preview, getting you revved up for the Xfinity Series race later on this afternoon. And of course, tomorrow, the Cup Series of Trucks. We'll be back on track next week when the series goes to Martinsville along with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. All right, folks, now it's time for our new segment here in the show called Around the Turns. Yes, Around the Turns. We're heading to the gridiron right now for Around the Turns, and we're going to start in Turn 1. Free agency has been going on, lights out here and there. So we'll start with the quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins. Yep. Kirk Cousins. Really, for the last 3 seasons, been franchise tagged by the Redskins. And now he's going to be joining forces with the Minnesota Vikings, who unloaded all their quarterbacks, it looks like, for free agency. Starting with Cousins. Cousins now joining a Super Bowl contending team. We all remember the Vikings bid to be the first team to ever host, be the team that made it to the Super Bowl, being the host Super Bowl, that came up a bit short thanks to the Philadelphia Eagles. But big time for the Vikings now have the quarterback. Case Keenum did a wonderful job there. Domino effect, we're going to Turn 2, where Case Keenum now is in Denver. And he dreamed about being a Denver Bronco, and his dream came true this week. Keenum now most likely be the starter out there in the Mile High City. The Denver Broncos getting the good guy. And practically, you know, when he was with the Rams, he hit a complete thud. And then all of a sudden, Keenum was lights out last year. Nearly, again, getting them to the Super Bowl at home in Minnesota. So rewarded with hard work. There it is with Case Keenum doing work there, and now has a chance to put the Broncos back into respectability mode right there. But they also had to make some difficult choices on the defensive end. But right now, though, it all starts at the top with the quarterback, Kirk Cousins, with the Vikings, and now you have Case Keenum over here with the Denver Broncos. And then continuing on the mode, heading towards the backstretch, we're going to Turn 3 with Tyrod Taylor. Buffalo Bills, now he's with the Cleveland Browns. And my, oh my, the Browns have completely revamped their roster now. and they didn't win squat last year. And now you're looking at a team now that has the ability to possibly contend not only for, I'm not going to say, the man, with all this talent now with Carlos Hyde, Jarvis Landry, and Tyrod Taylor, but you're looking at, obviously, the return of Gordon late last year for this team. So you're looking at a team possibly could be a ton more competitive. Not only that, compete for a playoff spot. So the Browns, this team is going to be, this is a total 360 from last year. They didn't win no single game. And the Browns make out here making moves, and yet they're getting another, all these first round picks also. So the Browns are going to be something to watch now. I don't think they're going to be a live stock anymore. I'm going to take this team a little seriously now. So Tyrod Taylor's going to make this team a lot more interesting. And all those weapons now on that offense. And we're getting off the quarterback snide here for turn four. We're heading into the last turn of the episode here with the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans is making themselves look like the New England Patriots. You know, they have just hired Mike Vrabel, and now you have former Patriots guys over there that Mike Vrabel knows so well. The latest one, Malcolm Butler, and that Super Bowl snub did not start at all in that Super Bowl, and I don't know what Bill Belichick was thinking. He must be still sleeping or something. But Malcolm Butler, getting out of there, he needed to get out of there after he got just gypped by his coach, by the head coach there, Belichick. And now he's landed in a spot there with the Titans trying to make that defense a little bit more respectable also. So, and not only that, the Titans also got signed Deion Lewis as well. So, again, I'll have more next week's preview of free agency, but just a lot going on right now with that. The Browns, all of a sudden, from last, possibly in the playoff contention with all their moves, with the shaking and baking, Cousins, or their Super Bowl, can they make a Super Bowl run with Cousins? I'll find out there. Case Keenum lands in this dream spot and has a lot of momentum there. Also, Tyrod Taylor's new home in Cleveland, making Cleveland good again. We'll see if that actually happens, but from all looks of it right now, the roster change, they have moved. Cleveland ain't playing around. And Tennessee, of course, getting a great defensive back in Malcolm Butler, the Super Bowl hero, taking away the Seattle Seahawks bid to win another Super Bowl. EG3 show, that's your around the turns for this week. Your number of the week I'm going to leave you with here this weekend is 8-8, being the number of drivers that have won 4 consecutive races. That's what Harvick is going for tomorrow afternoon. The last time somebody did it, I've mentioned this a couple times on the recent episodes of the EG3 show, Jimmy Johnson did it in one of his championship runs back in, I believe it was 07, I want to say, but I might be wrong. You can look it up on multiple sources, so there is that as well. All right, so final thoughts on this race tomorrow. It is going to be an interesting setup now with the new rules of, you know, the qualifying process and what happened yesterday. And now the 25 teams being rewarded, all a fresh set of tires, returning those qualifying sets. Oh, by the way, back to NASCAR so they can obviously take a look at them. But interesting race now tomorrow. We have a lot of guys trying to get to the front of this field. And the biggest story again, can anybody knock off Kevin Harvick? Of course, you got to put Kyle Busch up there in the mix. Martin Truex, the front row up here. Kyle Larson, I'm going to throw Eric Jones up in the mix as well. And those guys got to come through the back. You know, we saw a big upset last night with UMBC, Baltimore, Maryland, College of Baltimore, Maryland, putting Virginia in the wraps and not only beating them, but beating them pretty bad, really, to advance to the next round. And how about K-State in the house? Whoop, whoop! Getting into the next round also. But again, like I talked about in the top of the podcast tonight, they're going to be walking into the wrath of Cinderella and trying to knock them off tomorrow afternoon and trying to get themselves into the Sweet 16. That was a big win yesterday by K. Last night by K-State, man. That was big. And all meet in all cylinders. And hopefully, and maybe they can get Dean Wade back for tomorrow. Cross your fingers there. But right now, that's a momentum win right there. And hopefully, they will have their hands full with the Retrievers of UMBC tomorrow afternoon. And Field could have their hands full with Harvick. We'll see what happens there as well. But I'm going to go out on a limb. It's March Madness, and I saw last night. Kevin Harvick, I'm going to go on record right now and say Harvick will not win four in a row. I mean, yet they unloaded yesterday and all that other stuff. Man, it is difficult in the sport. I mean, to win three in a row, but to win four in a row, that is high on anybody wants to win right now. I'm not going to say make a prediction who's going to win the race tomorrow. It could be Bush, Truex, somebody from the back of the pack, Hamlin, Amarola, an upset win maybe. Who knows? But I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to be one of those guys that said Harvick will not win four in a row. And somebody is going to step it up and take him down. Question is, who's going to take him down? Find out tomorrow. Fox will have coverage of this event. Again, going back to the top, NASCAR on Fox tomorrow with In Auto Club Speedway. Coverage starting at 3:30 Eastern Time, 2:30 West Coast. 2:30 Central Time. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. In the West Coast, you're going out there to Auto Club Speedway this weekend. Hey, you do the math on there as well. So a lot happening again around sports. March Madness continues today throughout the weekend in the Auto Club 400 again, folks, on Fox tomorrow, beginning 3:30 Eastern Time, 2:30 Central. Do the math out west, and who will take out Harvick or the sequel can continue for one more week, and he's going to try to be the knife driver to win four in a row. But my prediction's already in, so you know where I'm going with that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a couple more minutes on the EG3 show this afternoon. My name is Eddie Greer. Thank you for listening to the Auto Club preview, the final preview of the NASCAR Goes West Tour. And so it's time to throw in my plug, EG3 Show, facebook.com/EG3 Show. We'll get you caught up on the latest news stories as it rolls along here, as the weekend rolls along here. And of course, you gotta go listen to the EG3 Show wherever you listen, get your podcast from: Audio Boom, Spotify, and of course, again, we are on iTunes. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating. That would help a lot. And you can leave our questions there as well. And I'm going to sit myself down here after this Xfinity Series race, or either during either or, and do something about this. You can write a question to us or leave us a comment. And probably be on the next episode. Future episode of the EG3 Show. You can leave us a comment or what to do better or how you feel about the podcast. That would be a whole lot better. And also, spread the word about the EG3 Show. The slogan, hey, what's the slogan around here? EG3 Show, join the movement. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, join the movement, EG3 Show. It is going on happening right now. So EG3 Show, join the train, join our movement right now this year, and spread the word. That will help a bunch, especially if you have friends that are big NASCAR fans that are looking for podcasts, you know, outside of NASCAR, NBC, the Race Hub, Mark Martin podcast, things like that. EG3 show, where I just loaded up a couple this week. Of course, go on there and look up our latest episodes. I talk about the EG3 show, the origin of how it came about, and our last podcast episode was from Pit Road, Front Row Motorsports. So check that out if you guys have not done so here this weekend. I encourage you guys to listen to that as well. So that's going to do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to put the wraps on the EG3 show this weekend. Fontana style. Can Harvick go 4 in a row? I'll find out, folks. March Madness style. I don't think he's going to do it. But who's going to back me up? Which team is going to step up here and knock off the freaky fast number 4 car? Ladies and gentlemen, time to close our garages for the EG3 show today. Thank you guys for listening to the EG3 show podcast, the preview edition. And next time I'll talk to you guys is the post-race auto club race. Break it all down for you and continue to break down this developing story, which I'm going to be following here. Will they keep this rule in place and move it up the cup side? That's what I'm going to be looking for here out of NASCAR here in the next couple days, maybe in a couple hours here, the way that the news keeps on rampling up here this weekend. But man, oh man, crazy stuff, folks. March Madness, Auto Club Madness. Who will win the Auto Club 400? Find out tomorrow in the Xfinity. Stay tuned for the Xfinity Series race later on this afternoon. Garages closed for the EG3 show. 80 degree to third. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. And also, thank my buddies, my friends out overseas for listening also to the EG3 show. Greatly appreciated. Also, spread a word about the EG3 show. All right, folks, time to get out of here before the Xfinity Series rolls off at Auto Club EG3. Hey, you know what it is. We rolling out.